Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
Welcome back to Rolling Imperfection for a special episode that is less story driven, but you know, we're still here. I'm Kevin.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Monster, once again. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Just to be clear, you're about to hear Monster on like literally the next regular episode of the podcast, and he's going to pretend like he's just recording for the first time then, because that episode was recorded before this one.
So. Shh, no. We do them at the exact same time using parallel dimensions, not actually.
Wow, I wish we could do that.
We're going to use the hyperbolic time chamber?
Yeah. Get so much stuff done.
No.
The gravity there sucks, though.
True. Speaking of gravity, what are we talking about today?
We're talking Spelljammer Adventures in Space. Space. Whoa.
Wow. A terrible rendition of Flash Gordon. I don't know.
Well, what can I say? I'm not Freddie Mercury.
Oh, look, that's nobody's perfect. But yeah.
True.
Space, more like intergalactic aquarium, am I right?
True.
But we'll get to that.
We will get to that.
I digress.
Actually, that's like one of the first things I actually have to say. I guess I did want to say, often when we have a Friday release like this, our regular episode gets a little trampled, ignored.
Neglected.
Neglected. So don't forget, we also have episode 108 that came out, if you're listening to this like roughly on time, yesterday. It's about keeping your options open, you know, which, you know, it's a thing. I'm not selling this at all.
just keep trying, buddy. We'll keep it back. Keep going. We're gonna bring it.
So don't forget, episode 8, sometimes episodes get trampled when we have a Friday release like this. It is the previous episode released to this. It is about making sure that your character is awesome and a little bit ready to be interesting to the story. There we go. That take was much better.
Poggers.
All right.
Poggers. I hope that cut stays. That little sound clip stays in.
Might go at the end.
Might go at the end.
All right.
That's
quick,
our
go grab
for today. Poggers.
Poggers. Deuces, nerds. Ha ha. Go get Misty. I need some Misty squeaks to go with the poggers.
Oh god. I think she's under the bed. I'm not going down there.
That's fair.
So today we are talking Spelljammer Adventures in Space.
Yeah.
Because it's the new book, and that's what we do, unless it's a book we don't want to talk about. Like the last one that got released. So
what was the last one? I don't even remember.
The last one was the Critical Role one.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We were like, okay, I know this might make us like bad D&D people or whatever. We don't actually like listen to that.
No, so. I actually gave one of their episodes a shot. They happened to be streaming and I needed something to put on TV while I was doing construction, I'll say, in my room. And so I was just like, oh, okay, you know, I'll throw it on. Like, why the heck not? And it wasn't too bad. I was actually surprised. I was like, actually, this is kind of neat. They were like going through like a tunnel on a train, fighting some like monsters that were like lit up with like neon lights in their organs and shit. And the people that had night vision were actually able to like fight better, and people that weren't had to like try and do something with the train to try and stop it or whatever they were trying to do. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Huh.
Nice. I mean, I feel like we mostly didn't do it because like our descriptions would have come out like that because we don't know a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the other book is that it's mostly designed for the people who really like the worlds that Matt Mercer creates. So it's mostly just like the flavor and fluff needed to play in those worlds more than it is like, yeah. Oh, here's a new class and like five new races and a new spell. It's like not much of that. So,
huh.
Yeah, but this one, while it is a lot of a new adventure,
yep.
It definitely is. It has some stuff. I personally like to pillage everything I can and modify
Speaking
it to my
whims. Vikings.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, and I guess as always, we've had this book for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Actually, less than that.
I say less than that.
Yep.
So
say less than 48 hours. So
if we get something a little wrong.
Yeah. Doing the best we can. I had 2 night shifts. Well, like 1.5 night shifts where I was like, all right, I can gloss over this. And what when you're working the night shift, stuff will invariably come up because you're the only person who can answer, say, a phone call or a call for help. And yeah, I got interrupted a few times. That's okay.
Oh, you didn't. Next time, you just gotta let them wait.
Be like, all right, I know something's down and broken. You can wait a couple hours. Don't worry about it. We're literally on fire. Please help us. I'm like, you'll be fine. Calm down.
So yeah, the introduction. We start off with space whales because, of course, we do.
Wow.
I can't remember if I've gone on my everything has a space whale now tangent, but like, I don't know. I just assume everything has a space whale. I look at your homebrews, GMs. They probably just have space whales. I'm assuming my games have space whales. Like, it's just everything does now. So
in one of my favorite games that I play a whole shit ton of every now and then, Stellaris, they have space whales. So,
well, yeah, because everything has space whales.
Yeah, everything has space whales, yeah.
If you're in space, there's going to be whales.
I'm sure there's a monster in Monster Hunter that's a space whale. We just don't realize it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Because we haven't had Monster Hunter space.
Oh, actually, yeah, there was. The current one is literally like floating, flying, like long boy dragon things that are almost like whales. Yeah.
Nice.
Space whales.
Can't stop space whales, man. Yep. Apparently, there's 3 things that are guaranteed: death, taxes, and space whales. Let's go.
Oh, yep, there you go.
Accurate. So yeah, they also go over some stuff that's like you can have infinite life in like the astral sea, which is interesting because like it's like why don't you just like I don't know I feel like I'd set up a condo.
Yeah. I'd be like,
and well, then you're like that. literally hitting the stopwatch when you hit planets. Like I feel like the concept of that has implications that are not in the book.
Yeah, because like what would stop someone from being like, okay, well, I'm this kid that stole something that allows me to, you know, go into the astral plane or whatnot, but I'm gonna become the greatest wizard ever by reading every magic book and memorizing every line and everything like that, and just while I'm traveling, which why not? Like,
got all the time in the world.
Then you come out as like a young kid or teenager and you're like, yeah, I know everything.
Watch me cast Wish 3 times in a row.
Go up there, you learn to cast Wish, and like, that's it, right? You're done?
Yeah.
Set?
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that just takes me to, everybody's just like, oh, I want to be a lich, this and that, because they live forever. I'd be like, why? Just go up to the astral sea. Just chill out. Set up a little houseboat and just float amongst the space whales.
And you get to keep your flesh while you're at it.
Exactly.
It's true. I feel like Trong would say like that's like boring and lame, but
he'd be like, but losing your flesh is the point.
That's it.
Yeah, he's just looking for excuses for his no flesh kink.
Which we'll get to once we get into the creatures or the character options. Ooh-wee.
True. Did you have anything else on that monster?
No, not at all. Well, I guess like the one other thing is like, we'll talk about it when we get to the races, but it does mention that the astral elves, since they live a very long time already, and then they live an even longer time in space, they become kind of cold and callous, or potentially like melancholy. And I'm like, oh. So not like these wise and jovial creatures. They're just sort of like, what's the... Just to float through space and look at the whales some more. I'm like...
Yeah.
They're Eeyore. Got it.
Yeah, pretty... Yeah.
I also feel like... I don't know. That's like fluff. That's just them trying... That's Wizards of the Coast trying to make it so that like... It's like... Okay. It's just them trying to be like, oh no, like people wouldn't do that because like you'd get sad. And it's like, no, that's you trying to limit my fucking dreams. I will be rad forever.
See, that's the mentality to have.
Yeah. So I know what the heck's wrong with all these space elves,
small tangent. I don't know if anybody's watched Sandman yet, but
I have watched Sandman.
My favorite episode 5, the second half. There's that guy.
That episode 6.
Is it episode 6? Oh, okay. But
are you sure it's episode 6? Because it's my favorite episode 2.
Because it's just that guy like, no, this rules. I'm gonna keep doing this.
So do you want to keep living? Of course.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
for all its problems, the show's pretty good.
But we're not here to talk about that. Sorry.
It's true.
Bringing it back.
I guess I also wanted to comment on one of the space hooks that's literally Moby Dick in space. I was like, really? They were like, we have space whales. We're going to do Moby Dick in space. Okay.
Is it still like the Great White Demon?
technically, it could be the Great White Demon, the Great White Lover.
Oh.
Could have wrecked his boat because it was trying to hump it. That's in the book. yeah, it's, I don't know. It's fine. I definitely was like, all right, wizards, sure.
Well, you know.
And all the other ones, I kind of, I don't know. I thought all their adventure hooks were kind of plain, personally, but that could just be me. so.
Yeah, that's fine. I feel like with pretty much all these suggested adventures, they're just, here's an idea, do with it what you will. Not necessarily like, all right, stick to this, otherwise the book like self-destructs and you're no longer allowed to look at it on D&D Beyond or where.
Yeah, no, I know that. I just think like, I don't know, maybe I've been pampered by like the weird ass stuff from the horror themed one from last year.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Like yeah. But by comparison, I'm
blanking on the name.
The Van Richten's Guide is just
It's
just full of ideas and it just doesn't stop. I know because I'm running a campaign presently that is based around the various worlds in there, and I'm never short of ideas.
Okay, this is also a complaint I'm going to have a little bit later. I also think that the base they had for this one, like the, because that one feels like someone read like a bunch of horror stuff and like went for it, and this one feels much more restrictive. I'll talk about it a little more later. But yeah, that I just definitely have a little bit more friction with this one. So.
Spoiler, I'm going to agree with you, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
True. I guess we'll go into the character options then.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about the backgrounds.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Oh, hey, Steve, you want to take, that first one there? Astral Drifter or?
Oh, okay. Should we just bounce back and forth? Maybe we'll talk about each cause I have something to say about the second one more than I do the first one, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Like, I'll just start with the first one, the Astral Drifter. As always, just backgrounds are just sort of like a little extra padding for your character, just to give them more skill checks or sort of languages usually. But this one actually gives you a feat, which I know there's, I think it's Dragonlance, or one of the books that's coming out has sort of like mini feats attached to backgrounds, I think. But this one actually gives you a full-on feat, while it has to be tied to the cleric. Spell list. I think that's pretty sick. I'm just saying, but that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I just insight and religion is skill proficiencies. I'm like, okay, if, depending on the kind of character you're playing, cool. Two choices of language, cool. You're in space, pick things that make sense. You're in space, or this could probably be used for a non-space game. Honestly, just be like,
I think they both could.
Yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah,
yeah.
But just the fact that you get a that feat, that's just...
Well, the next one gives a feat, too.
Yep, it does.
Yep, I was going to say, I know the other one, the next one gives a feat as well.
That's actually what I was going to say. I actually completely forgot that the first one gave a feat, too, because it's more restrictive than the other one. Because you have to pick a specifically cleric for the magic initiate. Whereas the other one, you just get the tough feat. But, like,
also
just thinking
strong,
about it, it's like, okay, your background gives you a feat? Like, what if in Kevin's Viking game where he's like considering giving us a feat to start off at, I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna be one of these two backgrounds. I'm gonna get a free feat. I'm gonna get the free feat that Kevin's gonna give me, and then I'm gonna be variant human, so I give a third feat.
That woof.
At level one, imagine that. Or even just two if you don't use Kevin's rule. Like
that's a lot. That would be very strong. Feats, while I love feats, and they give you such like a fun way to sort of, again, back to Steve and Kevin's cooking show. A little sprinkle, a little spice in there.
Yep.
But oh man, yeah, that would be very strong.
Yeah.
So I guess counterpoint: these do have kind of like limitations. It's only the tough feat or the magic initiate with cleric spells. But cleric spells are all pretty good.
Yeah.
And tough is good on anything. Anything can use tough.
Oh
be like,
yeah.
Oh, more HP. Thanks. My wizard might actually be able to take more than one hit. Let's go.
Yep. I mean, it also for the second one, the wild spacer eliminates the penalties from weightlessness.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's good.
Yep. That is very good. Well,
if you're doing a space campaign.
In a space campaign. Exactly.
Yeah. I remember M took like a zero gravity feet thing, and then I like forgot to give you guys a lot of like space station stuff.
Oops.
Good time.
Yeah.
But yeah. Did you guys have anything else to say about?
Nope.
About
just these? They're both cool. They both give a little sort of feet. Also cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
I mean,
think
that's
I have anything. Don't think I have anything bad to say about them.
Like I feel like
nice.
Cool. They give you the two skills like every other background, but at least the Wild Spacer also gives you two tools.
Yep.
And the other one gives you two languages. But that plus the feat plus like another mild bonus for each of them it's like, wow. Like that feels like they should have taken away some of the tools or the languages to balance out them giving you a feat or something like that. Like, I don't know. It feels like it's a lot to me over the normal.
Yeah, I feel like they wanted to sort of make these more desirable to grab. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get adjusted at some DM's tables, but I'm not going to knock it. I'm like, I will take every advantage I can get as a player.
We were just talking about that in literally the episode that, came out yesterday. If you listen to this when this comes out, the very previous episode. Talk about get as much as you can.
Yep.
Much as you can. Take what you can, give nothing back, to quote some pirates from a movie. Anyway.
But, so, races.
Oh, yeah, races.
Astral Elf?
Can I just start off by saying, there's some artwork in the book, and I'm really into this aesthetic. I think it looks really slick.
It looks like Destiny.
Kind of, yeah. Like,
I saw that. I was like...
Guilty as charged, yeah.
I was like, monster.
Yeah.
Monster.
I didn't think about it that way. Like, I was actually thinking of, like, the color choices and some of the, like, the orientation of the colors and stuff. It reminds me of an outfit from a really old game called Granado Espada.
And, oh, wow. Taking it back. Yeah. That's,
oh, you
that's,
know what the game is? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that one had nobody some cool that aesthetics. Knows what it is. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it looks like the Royal Guard outfit, kind of, for me. So I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I just like that, like, combination of colors and stuff. But yeah, now that you guys say Destiny, I can see the Destiny, especially the helmet.
Yeah, the helmet especially. I'm just like...
I think it's fine.
I'm really into it, but that just means just because the art's good doesn't mean the race is good. But spoiler, the race is still pretty good.
it is.
I was say, like, I think it's Wizards of the Coast.
The Starlight Step.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
The thing I actually kind of toned in on was Astral Trance, but let's go down the line here.
That's just the, is that just, I guess, slightly fewer hours of sleep than regular elves?
No.
No.
Most elves have like a trance feature now, and when they do it, they can kind of hack into the database of other elves and their memories and what have you, or, you know, the grand elven consciousness. But normally, that only gets you, like, a weapon or two tool proficiencies. But the Astral Trance allows you to gain a proficiency in a skill. So you basically have a floating skill that you can gain proficiency in every long rest. So if you kind of have an idea of what you're going to be up against,
it's actually you gaining proficiency in one skill of your choice and with one weapon or tool of your choice.
Yep.
So yeah, you get both a basic skill as well as a weapon or tool. Mm-hmm. Like you get two, like
temporarily,
So I'm gonna take a nap. Now I'm really good at stealth, and I know how to fly this spaceship. Cool. So I thought that was really strong. The Starlight Step, anything that gets you like bonus action teleport, great. Not as cool as like
proficiency bonus times as well.
Yeah.
Like dang.
Like I know they're moving more towards that for like pretty much. Racial stuff, which I'm kind of for, but kind of against. I'll get to an example of against in like a sec, because there's spoiler.
I see them.
Several other races that have proficiency bonus number of times uses per day. But
true.
Starlight Step.
And actually, quite a few things have both proficiency bonus and reaction.
Yep.
Times per, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. But Starlight Elf, or Astral Elf, good stuff. It's just another strong elf class. Like, usually elves are pretty solid all day, every day. Can't think of a bad elf. And this one is yet another one that has a nice little, hey, I'm going to learn me something while I sleep.
You also get a free cantrip, too. Just
yes.
That's
not necessarily great ones, but
no.
Light's useful, and Sacred Flame is...
They're very utility.
Yeah.
Yeah, utility, yeah.
Yep. Things that...
Can't complain about utility, though.
Never hurt to have. It's one of those things you'd rather have them than not. Again, take everything you can.
All right, all right. Shall we go to the Autonome?
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm always wary, at least as a GM, to anything that adds things to ability checks.
Mm.
And I zeroed in on that 1d4 addition to an agility check, and I was like, ooh.
Yep. 'Cause
I feel like that can get a little crazy, depending on how intricately a player builds their stuff. It's not like game breaking, but I definitely I'm side eyeing it.
That is a good thing to side eye, because let's just sort of take it back. I think I mentioned this in Discord the other day, but if, say, you're like a peace domain cleric, they get like a 1d4 that they can just do to anybody that they're like connected to. Now suppose you have the spell Bless that lets you add 1d4 to pretty much a bunch of stuff like whenever you want. And now let's go take it to build for success. Okay, so you're an autonome cleric of peace. You potentially have 4 extra d4 that you can roll on just about anything.
And that's not counting your friend who made a bard.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh, whoa. My God.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now this is literally a single player who's all of a sudden just like, I rolled 4 extra d4. Ha! Huh, looks like I rolled a 6. Do I hit? Yes, you hit. Cool. Or better yet, like, I have to hit him with like you have to roll a wisdom save. Be like, all right, I roll an extra 4d4. There's 12 on those dice. I'm gonna roll a d20 now. Be like, you're level 1. The check is 10. You're fine. Like, oh, yeah, cool. So yeah, totally fair. But counterpoint, I guess. You only get it your proficiency bonus number of times per day. So that's true. A grand total of 2 for levels 1 through 4.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do kind of like, all right, hold on. But I 100% agree with you. That is a slippery slope that I'm kind of hoping and expecting them to kind of, what's the word? It's something I'm kind of hoping to and expecting them to address in future versions of the game. Where it'd be like, all right, you can only have 1 bonus to your roll at a time, you little scamps. None of this stacking 5d4s onto everything.
I was going to say, like, it just seems like this would be a really good class to play a tank in for survivability because of the thing before and after.
Oh, yeah.
That as well, because they get a base armor class of 13 plus their dex mod.
Yep.
Just, you know, always solid. Because they are made of metal. And
yep.
I didn't realize, I was like, wait a minute, isn't that spell a cantrip? That you can use mending on them, and they get a bonus to the amount of HP they heal. You're like, oh, they're made of metal, so you can't heal them normally. Actually, they can
you
also
can heal
be
them
healed
normally. Yeah.
Wounds and other spells.
Not to mention the mechanical resistance to like being paralyzed or poisoned.
Yep.
And you don't have to eat or drink.
Yep. Very strong.
Or no, not immunity. It's advantage too. Immunity to disease.
Yeah. Still immunity to disease. Yeah.
Still
you don't
real
need
strong.
To eat, drink, or breathe, so you can actually get chucked in the water and be okay.
Or into the space.
Space.
Yep.
Then, space.
Yeah. And then Sentry's Rest, also good. Basically, like, okay, we need somebody to stand guard. I will sit guard. Is that okay? Totally fine.
Yep. They're remaining conscious during that time, and they basically just stand there looking inert.
Yep.
Them and the elves, that's when the GM starts like putting things that they notice to see if they'll disrupt the sleep, though.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Be ready.
You want to mess with your players. That's the way to do it. Be like, you catch something out of the corner of your eye. Can I go check it out? You may not
get
a
break
full
your rest.
Long rest.
Oh, really? I would have gone the other way. I would have been like, well, I mean, if you guys are going to always have somebody like super alert all night so you can't be quote unquote ambushed, I'm going to have the thing that would ambush you just be the type of thing that like runs in like a barbarian. at you. And you know, just comes in a raid and you don't have time to like go like, shh, guys, there's someone here. Wake up. You know, you don't get a chance to prepare. It's just suddenly combat.
even fair better, enough. Yeah. But, you want to break up a team's rest, be like, surprise combat. And by surprise, but, I mean, no, he does it stealth. No, no, no.
I like the horror aspect of like, you think you see something. Like worming into their mind. I like that idea though.
See, that's what I was saying. I was like, no, because then they're trying to, they're thinking the trade-off. They're like looking, they're like, but my 1d4s, I'll get them back.
I got some 1d4s and it'll be fine. I got a couple d4s. What are they do with these little caltrop looking dice? I'll mess them up. Delightful. But yeah,
anything else on the autonome?
Nope.
I think they're quite good.
They are quite good.
They're very good. Yeah.
I would also, something to note, they are the first construct creature type. So, again, one of those things where...
Warforged wasn't construct?
Technically, no.
Technically not, yeah.
Because I remember looking it up before we recorded. I was like, wait a minute, Warforged have to be construct. And, like, technically, they are not. So, things that target humanoids or beasts or whatever won't necessarily affect the autonome. Oh, I think it's... I don't know if they got rid of it, but there was, like, a fun little... Oh, I think they got rid of it. I think it was in the Unearthed Arcana where autonomes have like the three sort of directives, similar to like
Asimov's three robot laws.
Yeah, only theirs were different. The last one was like always protect the children or the young. And I was just thinking, man, what if you were fighting like a dragon wormling? And it's just like this group of like adult adventurers versus like this kind of fresh out of the egg like a dragon. Would you as the autonome? Programmed to protect the children, help the wormling? Who knows? Something to think about.
Yeah, something to add. Have an autonome NPC that's like that. GMs, it's a thing.
Be like, oh, hey, get.
Or have your player autonome have to try and convince the party that it's worth trying to take care of it and tame it and make it the party pet.
Oh, now we're talking.
It's true,
but
we're not too Dragonlance yet, though.
So. No, not yet. Don't worry, we'll get there.
Yeah. But yeah, on to the GIF official pronunciation. No arguments.
Oh, I thought it was GIF.
How dare you? You fucking heathen. They're not peanut butter.
I don't know.
I'm on your side, Kevin. However, look like they do like some peanut butter. To me, they look like they'd be like, oh yeah, peanut butter. Hell yeah.
Those guys look pretty juicing, man. I don't know. I don't know that they eat anything but like protein. Like pure protein.
Hey, when I was in high school, whatever reason, the football coach at our school was like, yeah, you guys have to like bulk up because you're freshmen. So you have to eat a jar of peanut butter a day.
My God.
I don't think that was healthy for them, but that's what he told them to do.
Peanut butter is full of protein and fats, lots of fats, and usually a lot of sugar. So I'm like, oh boy,
a lot of calories, just like burn it.
I
was going to say, I think we've advanced beyond the late 90s, early 2000s. Oh, God, my skeleton, it's wearing away the age.
Be like, we're done with bro science. We've moved on to just regular science. So.
True.
But yeah.
The hippo people.
Okay, cool. All right, we can just call them the hippo. But they're okay. Like, I actually think they're kind of funny. Their space hippo gods are super into guns. I'm like, huh.
See, how fun. I think that's really weird.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
As someone who homebrews the crap out of everything, having like a racial affinity to firearms is just insane to me. Like,
I
don't like it. I think it's cool having hippo people. I just don't like that aspect. It's very weird to me.
I would say I like the hippo in the middle, the rogue cartographer looking dude.
That's an alchemist dude, man.
Yeah,
alchemist.
Alchemist. Yeah.
Poison potions.
Those look like Greek fire potions to me.
Yeah, kind of.
Those are gonna cause problems.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's just he's wearing like the rogue, you know, like leather and all black.
So. Look, black is very slimming.
Yes,
he's
true.
Next to fucking Juicer on the left there,
okay.
And red.
Yeah,
like that guy's. Oof, man, I don't want to mess with him.
But I don't know if I can say this, but they just really needed a race that appealed to Americans. That, too soon? Too soon? It's always too soon. But you can cut that one out, Steve. It's fine.
No, it's staying in.
It's staying in, yeah.
Well, yeah. So I just think the firearms mastery is kind of funny just because they have firearms in the game and almost nothing gets like make use of them aside from artificers. And it's not like you're about to have a team of artificers, but
that's fair.
I could also see this getting really out of hand just because it ignores the loading property and
yeah.
Firearms in general are very strong. Blat. Yes.
Yeah. You've seen how ridiculous that is on my shotgun.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So now imagine a fighter who gets multiple attacks a turn. Let's go with samurai, just because that's something I'm familiar with. Wink, wonk. imagine a samurai hippo person with a gun who can ignore the loading property. Just be like, I give myself advantage. I shoot him 4 times. Be like, wow. And if you look at some of, there's a cornucopia of guns to choose from in D&D now. Some of them get pretty strong.
And yeah. So, and also they can fire from like super long range too.
Like they ignore long distance. So I'm like, oh boy. Yeah. And if, again, we were talking about stacking feats, only need to stack 1 feat, sharpshooter. And that'll add an extra 10 per shot. So that's potentially like 40 assured damage plus whatever you would roll. Assuming you have like 4 attacks as sort of like a high-end fighter. Then imagine action surging and doing it again. Yeah, yeah. Be like, when something absolutely has to die, I cast gun. I cast gun a lot.
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying the flavor is like fucking weird to me.
Oh, it's so. Very. No, I will not argue that at all. It's very silly.
It's really like weird for something to be inherent where it's like you can use this tool. It's inherent that you're like born knowing how to use this tool kind of thing.
Also, walking and swimming speed are equal, so these guys are going to be doing the water polo fucking egg beater.
Oh no.
firing guns. Mm-hmm. I can see it now. I'm expecting a future monster character now.
I'm slightly more down now because of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm expecting both Steve and Monster to that's going to be a campaign.
Are we gonna have a campaign of water polo hippos?
Oh, but let's go!
Oh man, I mean, you have to have at least one elephant. I feel like one.
Oh, we need a Loxodon to sort of.
Oh yeah.
Be like, all right.
Elephant never forgets.
That's right.
Yes.
He never forgives.
Yeah, maybe like a bird person or something as well. But yeah, like a couple of hippos, an elephant, and like a bird
or a leonin. Be like, wow, let's just get
like, Leonin.
The whole savannah involved. Let's go.
Yeah, seriously.
Be like, wait a minute.
You just go, yeah, let's go, team savannah. Na, 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 na.
I cast gun. Dun, dun, dun. Like, no, we're playing baseball. Or spaceball.
Ooh.
But yeah.
The ship could be called the Savannah.
Well, now we're wow. This campaign
Excuse me, Steve, coming together.
Nah. It's got a sick little soundtrack like Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's true. Love it.
But yeah. Anything else on the hippos? Because the Astral Spark's okay. It's really, I would actually argue really underwhelming. And I mean,
compared to the firearms mastery.
Yeah,
pretty much everything else is like frosting. I mean, the hippo build's really good.
Yeah, hippo build's really good. Speed's really good. Astral Spark is be like, hey, here's 4 extra damage per long rest. Enjoy that, kid.
Yep.
Oh, you've leveled up. Here's 9 damage per long rest, kid. Go get him. You got a gun.
Yeah,
You'll be fine.
It's just frosting.
I feel like it would be really good. Like, the shotgun that I have doesn't have that, I don't think. But if you find a like shotgun or ranged weapon that has like a cone area of effect, ooh, I think technically the way that worded is it would do the extra damage to everybody that's in that effect, so that it could potentially be more. But and then with your idea, that would just be nuts, monster. Yeah. Like
that could get silly.
That'd be absolutely silly.
Yeah.
The egg beatering cone of death.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Well,
look forward to hippos on the. Hippos at the table. Let's go.
Hippos on the water. Hippos in the air. Hippos everywhere.
Wow. No, no. The air is reserved for the Hadozi.
Yep. Oh, speaking of.
Yep. Nice segue.
Got it.
Yeah. We're on team We're on team no monkeys, I think. That's the official stance of the podcast.
Be like, I'm not a fan of them. Like, I don't even like the art that they have. Don't get me wrong. The art is fantastic, and the artist, I'm sure, is very talented. I just don't like the look of them. They creep me out. I don't like them. I wish they'd made them cuter. Is that weird? Maybe that's weird.
Nah, you just need to fan art cuter ones. You need to like get someone to fan art some of that for you.
Yeah, they made it like these creepy monkeys with like skin flaps, and I'm like, damn, you couldn't make like a cute little like sugar glider or something?
Like, I was saying, like it would be much better if they were flying squirrels instead of flying monkeys. I think that would have been like so much cooler or cuter.
Lemurs, come on.
Now we're talking.
So many options.
Though it has to be said, even though I think we're all in agreement that like they're not really our thing. Fly, my pretties.
Yeah. Oh my God. Here we go.
So, Monster, do you want to break down?
Okay.
How potentially insane this is, and how quickly you're going to hit a very quick homebrew rule.
Yeah.
Made up by your GM on the spot. That just. Oof.
Yes, I do. I'm just going to go down the line here. Creature type, they're humanoid. That's fine. Size, medium, small, fine. Walking speed, 30 feet. Climbing speed, equal, also fine. Similar to the GIF with their swimming speed. Dexterous feet, kind of neat. You get a little... this is something I actually want to talk about later with one of the other races is...
Oh, I agree. We'll have the conversation then. Actually, it's the next one.
Yeah, it's the next one. Glide. This thing can become a problem real quick for pretty much just that. There's two little dots here. The first one, when you move 5 feet horizontally, you can move 5 feet horizontally for every 1 foot you descend in the air at no movement cost to you. So, I'm pretty sure it's in Xanathar's. The maximum distance you can fall in a turn, which is like 6 seconds, is 500 feet, which I'm sure someone did the math, and that's probably pretty close to how quickly a human falls. So, imagine you have 500 feet to fall. And for every 1 foot of that, you can move 5 feet horizontally at no cost. So, what's 5 times 500?
2,500.
2,500.
That's right. So, you can move 2,500 feet in one turn, and then at the end of it, you can reduce your fall damage to 0, which is the second dot. So, I can't remember if the math was right or not. I didn't actually try too hard, but I'm pretty sure that 2,500 feet in a turn in 6 seconds is about 280 something miles an hour. So
zoom, zoom, zoom.
That's that's incomprehensibly fast for a humanoid to be moving. I can only imagine what that would do to the body.
Yeah, these aren't flying monkeys. These are fighter jets.
These are fighter jets.
Not to mention you could probably work out some jumping math and your just regular speed of you running and jumping around.
Oh yeah, the wave dash.
The wave dash. Yeah,
you need the wave dash. Yeah, you're like, whoom, whoom. It's I feel like that was a Zelda like movement hack combo at one point.
No, it was Star Fox. You do like ayah! I'm like, wow, look at him go.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Smash Brothers, because that wave dash is what they actually call the little. Like hop movements they do in the original like Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I think it was Fox and Samus could do it. I don't know. I was
everybody can do it actually.
Oh really? Oh okay. Bless them.
Yeah.
I just know it. Ah yeah. Just because that's the noise that I associate with Fox players. But anyway, So imagine you're not falling. Just suppose you just be like, you know what? I jump, and I think any race can potentially just jump 3 feet into the air and. With that 3 feet, you can glide 15 feet. So you have a total of 30 feet on average for most races, including the Hodozi. So your 30 feet of movement turns into 150 feet of just gliding around the map.
Isn't there like a jump feat or something that like gives you a bonus to your jumps you can take? Isn't it like a bonus action? So you use a bonus action to just basically move?
Probably, yes. Just I jump.
And maybe I'm wrong, but dang.
There they go. Yeah.
No, you're correct. There's the I'm pretty sure a jump feat and a jump spell. I know there's a jump spell.
I know there is a jump spell. I'm just through here. Oh, I don't see a jump feat. I know there's athletics.
Okay. It might be part of athletics.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Hmm. That gives you the ability to jump higher, essentially. But why would you need to?
Yeah, it was like, if you jump higher, you get more distance because it's every foot you fall.
True. Yeah, so. Exactly. That is true.
Yeah.
And it costs you nothing. So, yeah. Now, imagine you're a monk, and later in game, you have 120 feet base movement, and you're sort of like, I jump, I glide, I jump, I glide, I jump, I glide. Hence the wave dashing comment. So,
yeah.
These guys can get pretty silly. I think I mentioned before the podcast, like, a quick and dirty fix that I thought of is, every time they land from the glide, they're prone, just so that way they have to spend movement to stand up. And if they want to do it again, they probably could, but it'll keep them from...
Yeah, they'll get some extra out of it.
Yeah. Exactly. They'll get something out of it, but they're not just sort of like, try and catch me, whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Yeah, you get to the point where you're just giving enemies any... You get to the point where you're just giving enemies any... like incapacitation or like trapping ability you can.
Every single one of my enemies comes with a net and a crossbow. All right.
Oh man.
You brought this on yourself.
What is it? Grasping vines?
Oh yes, there you go.
I was just thinking, so they can be your choice of medium or small.
Yep.
Imagine someone fastball specialing them.
Yep.
Oh my god.
It's like, what do you do on your action? I pick up the monkey and I throw it into the air. and then the monkey glides as it moves out of its turn.
The monkey just glides. Suddenly all the battles are in places with ceilings.
Like, yeah.
You're all always fighting in a small room.
All right. We're not in space anymore, you little shenanigans. We are in a room with a 5-foot ceiling. You're bumping your head. I'm done with this. You can't jump.
It's over.
But yeah.
Oh, man. Imagine if they got some way to get whatever that monster skill is that's like flyby attack or whatever.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yep. That, again.
Anyway.
They're very silly.
Very silly.
The movement shenanigans, like I think we all agree, is something that a competent or... even an incompetent GM would be like, I don't know about that. That seems a little silly. Maybe we'll do something about that. But I think it might be a discussion to have with your GM. Be like, hey, what do you want the movement rules for this to be? Yeah, talk to your GM about that one. We're not saying you're not gonna, don't play this. Nobody's allowed to play this. This is silly. Don't do it. Like, you know what? Have fun. Play your character.
Yeah.
They also got a damage resistance thing, too, where they can reduce damage a number of times equal to proficiency bonus by rolling a dice. And they add their proficiency bonus to that roll. That's not bad.
Nope, that's not bad at all. That's kind of there's like a fighting style that fighters get. I think it's like the defense style. Or no, I think that's there's one that gives you like +1 AC, and then there's one that if you can use your reaction to be like defense. And this is basically like a mini version of that.
Oh, I think it's like defensive fighting or something.
Yeah, so that sounds right. So I'm gonna say yes, that's definitely. But yeah. So, but again, this is tied to proficiency bonus, so. At the beginning, you're going to be crazy. Like, if you do like an average on a D6 is like 3.5, and then you get +2. So be like, I resist 5 damage of that. And then you can do that twice per long rest. Be like, okay, cool. Again, it might get a little crazy later game, and you're just sort of like, oh.
Everything gets crazy later.
Yeah, game, I mean, a later game, if you can resist like 12 damage a couple times a day, I don't think that's going to break anything, especially when you're just like, disintegrate. You take 60 damage.
I mean, it helps when your monkey goes, you know, crazy and flies, you know, 3,000 feet in a turn.
Yeah,
to go and like, fight the boss because their enemy protagonist style.
That's right. The monkey was just sort of like, you know what would be really cool? If I hit max speed and just headbutted the guy. Be like, all right.
Oh, God.
Mach 2 headbutt. I'll see you in hell. And they just create a small supernova. I'd be like,
Bracken Dios all over again.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say the comment for that, but I think you guys know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we both do. Enough anyway, monkey hate. Let's move on to
enough of this monkey business.
Well done. This part, I'm so proud of you.
This book has enough dad jokes. Okay,
like. It does. But it just chef's kiss, bringing it. Let's move on to the one that I want to play.
You wanna be Gumby?
I also want to play.
I want to be a plasmoid so bad. I think they're so funny, but they're so cool. Oh, man.
I agree. I just think they can, like, they don't seem broken.
No.
They just seem very, like, you can do stuff. You can do stuff. You can do stuff.
They just like, seem really fun. Oh, man. I love them so much.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts on them, Steve? Otherwise, me and Kevin are just going to gush the whole time about him.
It's true. It's
I
true.
Mean, yeah, you can tell you can
us
go
your
head.
Tell us your strong anti-Goo Girl stance. We want to hear.
Strong anti-Goo Girl stance. Well, when you put it that way, I'm not against it.
Oh, let's go.
I mean,
or Goo Guy.
Wink,
yeah,
wink.
Or Goo Guy. You know, don't discriminate.
I mean, technically, you could be either, just depending on how you shape self yourself. So, you know.
I mean, Goo the shape yeah. self, I do like the little bonus action to make like a little mini me of you. I feel like it would be absolutely hilarious to like hide your little self inside of like the bottom of a chest and be like, oh yeah, here's that magic item that will destroy the world that you wanted, big bad. We have a deal that you're going to give us this other thing in exchange, right? And it's like, oh yeah, here you go. You just make sure it's in the box. Oh yeah, it's in the box, closes it and goes away. And then when the big bad's not like looking, you know, takes out, opens the chest, runs away with it back to you. I don't know. It just feels like there's a lot of like shenanigans you can do with that, which is kind of amusing.
Well,
oh yeah, go for it.
It contains no sensory organs, so
I think
would that limit it?
The way
and I think it's attached to you, right?
Yeah,
it's like a tentacle.
If you look up what a pseudopod is, it is essentially you grow a tentacle.
Yeah,
and
oh,
so it's not like
okay.
It's not like yeah. a little mini you that you can be like, hey,
okay,
hide
I thought
them.
It came completely separate. I thought it was like a little mini me.
No, no.
Okay.
I think extrude is the thing that got you confused there.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Because this was something I had to read like a few times to be like, wait, what? And I had to actually try and think really hard of like a situation where this might be useful. And the only time I can think of is like, if you want to do a subtle pickpocket, it's kind of like a goofy mage hand.
It is.
Yeah.
Just not as effective.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
hey,
okay.
Hey, look, it's for Goose and your friends. That's what it is.
Oh my God. You just keep making me want to play a Plasmoid even more, man. Just,
oh no.
Be like, all of a sudden you feel a little goose. Who did that? There's nothing there. There's just a puddle on the floor. Is that you, slime guy? Waves. Yeah, yes, exactly. Oh man, what was the name of that old Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
Oh, the Herculoids.
The Herculoids, that's
yeah,
right.
The Herculoids.
Cause there was a big slime and little slime, and they always did the coolest shit in the show. Like they turned into buzzsaws or just like brutalize things and be like, you know what? I'm just gonna turn into a bat and hit it. But
I mean, yeah, and I think it's fun that we get kind of I don't want to say nerfed, but we get the fairy squeeze through things, but like slightly fixed.
Oh my God. Ugh! Like, all right. So what I was thinking about, where could this be like applied? Since obviously, you can't be wearing or carrying anything, but if I got three really solid class picks, you can be a barbarian who's just like, you know what? I'm getting in there. I'm gonna start punching. You can be a monk. You know what? I'm going to get in there. I'm going to start punching. Or you can be a soul knife, which is a rogue class that they use psychic blades instead of regular blades. And you're like, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to start stabbing. And you're pretty much just like set. You're like, armor, clothes. I don't need any of that. I'm made of goo and violence. And, oh, man. And I'm just so into that idea.
That would actually be kind of hilarious. You just have, like, on your ship a little, like, open barrel, and it's like, what is this open barrel filled with water? Oh, don't worry about that.
That's our violence slime. We only wake him up for special occasions.
I'm thinking of all the non-combat stuff that all this stuff can do.
It's got a lot of great non-combat options, too. Like, that natural resilience. Acid mm-hmm. and poison? Wah, chef's kiss. Another thing, creature type, ooze. That's yet again one of those things that various spells target humanoids, and I don't know if there's any spells actually that target ooze specifically, or will do something at an advantage to ooze. So
yeah, it's just the plain monster stuff, which is usually a slightly higher level too, right?
Yep, exactly right. It's usually beasts, humanoids are like the big two. But yeah. Oh man, they're so cool.
I do want to say the weird habit of things in this book that can like pick up things off the floor without having to like bend over and actually pick them up. It makes me wonder, like, I didn't get to that part of the book where they talked about like a lot of the plot stuff. Is there like literally like plot ideas of like, oh, you got to make your characters drop their keys on the floor. Like, like with all the races, they like there's three races that could like pick up things like either with their feet or a tentacle or whatever.
It's the little like, bug hands.
Yeah, the next one can as well. So I'm just like, what the heck? Why is this suddenly a thing? Like, is this a requirement for this book? Or
I mean, there's also three things in here that have weird versions of sleep.
Yep.
So
true. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So no sleep and picking stuff up. That's the
wow. That's what you can really hope to do in space with the whales.
Yeah. You could pick up a whale while sleeping. Well, wow. Not while it's sort of sleeping.
I hope that's a small whale or someone cast enhance reduce on something. I think we've gushed about our little slime guys enough. Unless you have anything else you want to throw in there, Kevin. Yep, that was a
no. I'm good. We can move on to Trong's new favorite class, I think. The Thrykeen. Oh man, the names in this thing.
Yeah. Like every time
technically it's just the Hidozi, the GIF, or the Thrykeen that I have a problem with, but still.
Old Thrykeen.
Bug monsters.
I like them a lot. Only because as I'm sure has been mentioned many times, I play Destiny, which is a fun first person shooter game where you shoot aliens who are trying to, you know, make things bad for people. And one of the original alien races are called the Fallen or Elixni, and they're basically bug people with four arms. And I'm like, oh, cool. Now I can be an Elixni. Or, as they're called in this game, a Thrykreen. And they're really good. I've been saying how everything's really good. If either of you have any input, by all means, go for it.
I mean, they have the general thing. The reason why I said our friend Trong.
Oh, yes.
Is he frequently has an obsession with things that just give you decent armor,
which these
stealth
have.
Checks
also has
dark vision.
Yep, has that.
Not sleeping.
Yep, doesn't need to sleep.
And the telepathy, like all those are things that I associate with him, and they're just all in one race. Like he doesn't even have to like try anymore. He can just be a bug forever. I guess a bug lich eventually.
The only thing he's got to try is Thrykreen. Wow. I'm not sorry, but yeah. But again, wow. Creature type. They are a monstrosity. Yet again, another thing that avoids certain spells. Very handy. Size, medium, small. Walking speed. These guys don't get any climbing or swimming or flying. They're just 30 feet. And then we get to the first really cool thing, the Chameleon Carpus, which I think this is so cool. It's just built-in armor plus your dex and advantage to stealth checks. So this is basically a free magic item.
Technically just advantage to hide.
Oh, made to hide. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is
still pretty good.
Different, but good. Yeah.
This is basically like a budget elven cloak.
Yes.
And you know what? Thank you. Then. Dark vision, always good. Secondary arms. This is we'll come back to this just because we've been talking about picking things up and putting them down, and interacting with like handles and buckets and what have you. And,
oh, I have things to say too. Yeah.
And like again, I know I mentioned action economy. I feel like they're really trying to set up an arm economy. And
an arm economy, if you will.
An arm economy, yes. And the Thrykreen are going to have a stranglehold on that market.
Yeah, but, multiple strangleholds.
Yeah, for real. Up to four strangleholds.
Say, actually, as the grapple rules expert, would this mean that they could technically grapple four people at once?
No.
I don't think so. Just
I thought it was basically you can grapple one person for each arm. That's what I thought.
The only reason I would say no is because it's like lists out specific things.
Yeah, the secondary arms aren't full.
Ah,
arms.
True.
They're.
But this basically gives you. Oh man, it's so silly. So for any fighter that has ever been like, man, I want to use a two-handed weapon, but I also want to have a crossbow, or man, I want to use a sword and shield, but also cast spells, but I don't want to take the warcaster feat. This is basically like, you know what? We got you, kid. So it says the light property. So that's a small crossbow. That's pretty much any casting kind of focus. If you're like, you know what? I really want to be someone who throws things. You have a hand axe in every hand, and you're just sort of like, I just keep chucking them every turn. you're not going to run out. Ugh. That it's just so good.
Not Not to mention the like small shenanigans that I feel like any of these, like the plasmoids and the Hidozi can all like just do, like a, you know, oh shoot, like you need to, like, we need to get out of here. Like, they, you know, they're already, they've saved you a little time by like pulling open a door or pulling a lever or doing, you know, whatever. I think that that's valuable in a, in like a role playing sense too.
You want to know what's really valuable? The ability to be able to use your action, get your attack in, and maybe manipulate a door, and with the other hand, be like, and I flip off the bad guy while I'm at
True. True. We cannot forget the spite economy.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Which the Thrykreen also have several strangleholds on.
A solid grip on. They're just like, and I cast the bird. Pacow! Like, what? And then it's top, like, again, like, secondary arms, fantastic, super cool, like, lots of shenanigans there, but I don't feel like it's broken, but just
no,
like,
it's not horrible. It's like, just... I definitely saw this and was like, I don't feel like anything's like I was side eyeing the 1d4 and and then there's the Hidozi.
Yeah.
But this, I felt like, I was like, I mean, it's mostly just like stuff that I as a GM would look at and probably like make some like role playing like potential out of this.
I was gonna say sleepless. Like the first thing I thought of when I read that was just like, so you mean my bug character can be like basically keeping watch while also reading a book? Because that's not, as long as it's not strenuous. And I wouldn't say reading
depends
is...
on the book.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah,
Steve. Depends
if it's
on
stuff
the book.
You read. Probably.
Hey.
Especially right now, since you're King.
I read a lot of relaxing stuff. Oh, Stephen King. That's not strange.
Oh, okay. I just meant like horror genre, but
Stephen King's light. No, I'm talking like
War and
There's
Peace.
There's definitely some
War and Peace. Oh God.
War and Peace. Okay. First of all, I haven't read War and Peace.
Boring.
But
at least I don't know. I haven't read it, but I'm assuming it is.
I don't think so. I'll let you tell you what. We'll do an update because I that's literally my plan.
Okay.
My planned winter read, because I just want to be like, yeah, everyone says like War and Peace is super long, and I honestly looked at it and was like, I don't know, guys. I have M telling me to read The Wheel of Time, and
yeah,
compared
that first
to the Wheel
like a
of
1,000-something pages.
Well, compared to the complete 15 series Wheel of Time.
Oh yeah,
War and Peace looks like nothing. I could knock War and Peace out if I'm like audibling it, which I'm going to, I could do that in a week. If I'm really walking a lot.
Okay. Cool.
And that's kind of how I listen best too. But yeah, the Wheel of Time, I'm like, that's like a summer. So yeah. But anyway. Yeah. Depends on the book. I was actually thinking more of like, oh God, like something like Thomas Pynchon or something, or, really any of the theory I had to read for my master's degree. That's all no, that's all strenuous. Let's, you guys want to listen, your bug person not allowed to read Foucault while they're trying to sleep
while they're trying to relax, be like, you know what,
yeah,
you do not get the benefits of the long rest because you know what, you were reading that master's degree level literature.
Exactly.
Let's go back to after sleepless, obviously. A great thing.
Telepathy.
We got telepathy, which, excuse me, you can talk to anybody?
That you could see.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, though, this is just free message, like always.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really good. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. We like, you need a...
And you don't need to share a language for them to understand either.
Yep.
So that means if you have any of the classes that require you to, like, insult something, like, rogue mastermind can give the help action to someone else as long as the enemy, the person they're helping is within 30 feet of them and they can see and hear them. And I think I have to understand them too. So they have to be like, understand your insults or whatever. You could just telepathically link to them and they don't have to share a language with you. You just do it.
I'm just imagining that, like, you telepathically like talk shit to someone so hard that they're like, ah, my brain. You ever just drop a bar so sick that the guy dies? Yeah. Me too.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah. Oh man, Thrykreen Bard, let's go. Just hit him with that vicious mockery.
Yeah, vicious mockery.
Just don't stop. Be like, You just keep hearing this really angry chittering in your head, and every chitter seems to be an insult against your mother. The fuck is this thing? What a delay.
Oh, that would be a funny thing. It's like you literally do your mother jokes to them to insult them. And then because of your sleeplessness, you spend up all night just researching new your mama jokes.
Oh, God. Yo mama's so fat, she got she got mistaken for a space whale. Be like, oh, yo mama's so fat, she don't float in zero gravity. Oh, snap, it keeps coming.
Your mama's so fat, she don't fit in the tractor beam.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, shenanigans. I think, with all these races, shenanigans. To... more fun and less fun extents, I think.
Oh man, I want to play them all except for the Hadouken. But they're all great. Who are we kidding?
True.
Just a different flavor for everybody. But there's still more to the book. Believe it or not.
Absolutely. Astral adventuring. I actually don't have a lot to say. I know some people I saw online were saying that there's not enough, I don't know, granular ship stuff. Though someone did point out that there's ship stuff in the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I have been on record as not being super into, like, granular stuff or, like, keeping track of weird little sets of points that are just like, oh, look, it's another set of points and another set of points, and the points keep coming and they don't stop coming. That's like, it. I just remember, like, having even just, like, the Theros stuff I thought was like just too many points with the gods stuff.
Oh yeah.
I was like, it's a nice idea, but like just when we played in practice, I'm just not that kind of person. So I actually didn't care. I mostly thought this stuff was all just like fine.
Yeah.
That's so probably why they didn't include it, was because like technically you can always just add it if you want to add that complexity. But the second they put that in the rules, there's going to be a lot of people saying, oh, well, you have to do this. You have to do that. You have to manage
Steve,
this. And
don't tell that to anyone online. They'll be like, they got really mad. I saw a bunch of people get real mad. So,
I mean, like I said, you can always add it in if that's what you want to do. Like if you want to have that like nitty gritty, like I forget what that game's called, but there's like this game that came out like, I want to say like 5 years ago, where you're like in a dirigible facing another crew of people in a dirigible, and you have to like repair it while it's like flying at them, and you have to like have someone pilot it, and they have to go and repair the engine, and someone else has to man the cannon, and you're like doing all this like maxing, like a little micromanaging to just get the ship over to fight each other.
It's not even that. There's already people have already made homebrew stuff for it. B, I've heard you can do this with Starfinder if you want.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's fine. They have like temperature, weightlessness. The two new spells are both very focused on the setting.
They're like, you won't die in space. The spells.
Yep. You won't die in space and you can fly the ship.
Yep.
That's like, the two things.
All fine. Like,
although I do artificer and wizard for the spell jamming helm. I feel like I'd let sorcerers and maybe druids do it too.
Depends on the ship. Cause
yeah,
I know we're going to jump to ships next, but a lot of them are almost like living things, or actually are like living things.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I can see an argument for it as well. Because I didn't
bring
like that.
Bring on Farscape.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that I was going to complain about. I didn't like the idea that like you need one of these two classes to pilot a ship. Like, what if I don't want to play a wizard and nobody else wants to play an artificer? And then what do we do? Oh, okay, I guess we have an NPC do it. Cool.
Yeah, but, or you have to hire someone.
Yeah, like, okay. And yeah, if you're into like the ship combat and this and that, cool, good on you. Go for it. I don't think that's anything I've prioritized in any of my games. And I can tell you, I don't think Kevin has prioritized any of them in his games.
I just don't know that it's that interesting. It's also very impersonal, which is like not great for stories.
Yeah.
Like unless you're doing like literally like fighter pilot style one-on-one with these things. Like it's the reason why Star Trek combat, no offense, I know people love it, is not super duper interesting. It's very like fire the lasers and the proton torpedoes. The shields are down to 66%. Like cool guys.
Cool. More,
it's very
more
abstract.
Power shields. Did it. Yep.
Yeah. It takes a lot to make that kind of stuff like interesting to me, at least.
Nope. Totally fair.
I think the kind of the appeal of that aspect is that it gives you like a very visual representation of what's going on. You know, like if you're just like, oh, the shields are at 66%, you can kind of like visualize like how badly they're damaged and like, well, can I change that? Or do I want to spend my time doing something else? Like, I understand the micromanaging aspect of it, but yeah, I feel like that takes away from the like story element, like you were mentioning. It's just, it's
yeah,
a distraction.
I guess I just prefer it all to be a little bit more narrative. Like that's how I've handled yeah. it when we play Edge of the Empire Star Wars. It's
yeah, I think we actually very, had a like, couple of space combats that we didn't focus too crazily on much of that stuff, but like I don't, yeah. if at all, I think it was just mostly just piloting checks.
I mean, I tried to give everyone something to do, so I had like
yeah,
a couple people at turrets, people making piloting checks. I made up a couple other things you could do. Like
there's always
the
Han
the
Solo
shields.
Sitting in the hyperdrive trying to repair it.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't do that to us yet, but it could happen.
It could. I'd have to have someone sneak on your ship.
Oh, no.
And I'd have to think of an excuse for your agent friend not to have seen it.
True.
Or her little robot friend. But,
Or
yeah.
if maybe the Ewok sabotages the ship for some reason and we don't know it.
Ta-da. I don't know why the Ewok would sabotage the ship.
No, he
needed
would
this
never
part
do that.
To make a bomb.
It's most likely but... anyone but the Ewok, to be honest.
True. But yeah, I think Monster has something to say about the ships, though.
I think they're all really cool.
They're very pulpy.
That's it. That's all I got. I think they're all super neat. Like, I felt like every one of the ships, like, a lot of them have, like, maps and they have, like, stats and whatever. But pretty much all the ships have, like, some really cool art to them. And just loved them. They are, like Kevin said, like, very pulpy. They remind me of, like, old sci-fi comics from back in the day. I'm not going to put a date because I don't want to date myself. That they just reminded me of like old Magic the Gathering art, which is
yeah, the Weatherlight stuff.
That's right, the Weatherlight stuff. I was like, oh, who remembers the name? And I'm like, yep. I was like, literally one of the ships called like the Nautiloid looks pretty much. Well, I don't want to say it looks exactly like the Predator, but
The maps give me like this like FTL vibe.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the game FTL, yeah.
Okay, it doesn't look exactly like the Predator, but yeah. It looks similar, and oh man, just some of the aesthetics of these ships are super cool. It makes me actually want to like, you know, make a reason for like flying around in the ship and ship combat to be like narratively interesting, but it's just a different form of combat that the players have less control over. They're like, all right, what can you do? You can pilot, you can shoot, you can fix. Good luck.
Yep.
Wow, one of them has grappling jaws, so you can basically have like
gonna outlaw star it.
Outlaw star, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Their claws, their jaws, their ballistas, cannons, battering rams. Yeah, that's most of the additions yep. to the ship types. I looked over them a little bit.
Yep, I gave them a little once over. But
wow, the art for the Nautiloid looks cool.
I know, doesn't it?
That yeah, with I it coming out of that portal
that
or whatever.
Portal, yeah, that would like again.
I'm glad you guys want to drive an Omanyte.
Hell yeah, I do. Give me the fossil
Wait, there's
type
one that's
Pokemon.
Just a spider.
Yeah.
There's a spider. There's a dragonfly.
Oh, wow.
There's a turtle.
Oh, you got to go down to the tyrant ship. That one's like, it's so wacky. Be like, yo, we carved out this crater and we made it look like a beholder because we're beholders.
Giant enemy. Oh, no, that's a scorpion. Never mind.
Yeah, there's a scorpion. I look at the tyrant ship. I know it's meant to be like beholder-ish. I imagine like you making like a tyrant style ship out of like a dead giant skull or something.
Ooh, I like where your head's at. We're getting kind of like.
I think all these are like tweakable too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't be married to them. If you want to steal the ship designs and maps, I highly encourage that. But that's what I do all the time anyway. So
I feel like it'd be interesting for like a long term adventure if like all these ships were like iconic. Mm. So like at times you have to like go through like acts to like steal it or get the ship back. Kind of like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, where he's always trying to get back the Black Pearl.
Just gotta get the
like
Black
something
Pearl
like
back.
That.
I mean, that is definitely a thing that can happen. I mean, all this stuff, I guess I'm getting to it a little early, is very pulpy. It's very planetary romance, which is essentially just where they put fantasy in space. Apparently, they base this a lot off of Flash Gordon.
Whoa! Yeah, wow.
Savior of the Universe.
That's the one.
Yeah, and I think literally the 80s one, but like there are serials going back to the 30s. I looked at this and I was like, man, I could run a really cool like John Carter of Mars. I know the movie sucked, but I read the books and the books are good. At least the first couple. So
yeah, let's go.
Yeah, you can do some really crazy stuff, and I think some really weird stuff too. And I think that's where I'm like, that's definitely where I was like, you have some like artists doing like such cool stuff, and I just feel like a lot of the lore and stuff is just, I wanted more. I wanted it to be weirder. I wanted space to be weirder.
A little underwhelming, sort of like, wow, we've got space, we've got magic in space, and the best you came up with, there's whales in space. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, did we want to move on to the monsters? Because yeah. I think they have some cool monsters.
So,
they have some dumb monsters. And oh, they yeah, have they the, do. I get it, spaces and ocean.
Yeah.
Monsters.
So we can sort of gloss over the Rock of Brawl. Because it's.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
I didn't have a lot to say.
It's a neat place. Like, it's water deep in space, kind of. I'm like, okay, yeah. Cool. And yep, there you go.
Forgot about Rock of Brawl.
Yeah, it's be like, okay, we need something that's kind of like the Citadel from Mass Effect, but also kind of like Waterdeep. All right, it's a rock in space. Got him. I'm like, okay, cool. But anyway, on to the menagerie of creatures.
Yup. I mean, I know Monster has stuff too.
See, I got a couple that I think are pretty neato, and some that I'm just like, oh, stop it. Well, I think we both agree on the things. Ugh, stop it.
I mean... We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Okay.
yeah. Let me see. We're not gonna cover every season.
No.
But go. The first one I have to talk about is. I think the first thing I actually have to talk about is the Lunar Dragon. Personally.
Oh yeah. Get that.
Skipping over. I mean, a lot of it's like just the here's a race loadout for the GIF and the Hidozi and stuff like that. You got the space whales who are. I don't know, a little generic. They do a freaking solar flare beam. The lunar dragons.
They're sick.
Holy shit, they're cool. They're so cool. They have like ice attacks. The incorporeal thing just sounds like something you describe during the battle to your players, and they just go like, "I'm sorry, what?" Because it can
stop it. Sort of yet. Like I phase out, and be like,
"What? Why?" Like. Right. And then the tunneling thing too, just starts going underground. They're like, "I'm sorry, this is not Tremors." And you're like, "Isn't it?"
This is turning into a Monster Hunter fight. What's going on? Oh my god, get my sonic bombs and then, out!
And then it pops out and does its ice AOE.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Oh god, Phase is giving me like Teferi's Protection flashbacks.
It's magic. Brutal. It's so brutal.
So like, this is a cool monster. Just like I like this.
Yeah, and it has variations, so you can you can pick which you want to throw at your poor players, and they have varying effects of stuff. I know only the top couple have the ice AOE, but still. Also, you can mix and match.
No one's gonna stop you. You're the GM. You want to put that shit on a wormling? I don't care. I'll care when it hits me, but other than that, I don't care.
True. Yeah. I think the next thing I wanted to talk about was, next thing I wanted to dismiss was the murder comet.
But... Not the cosmic horror? Two of, like, the most unfortunately named things.
Yeah. I mean, that
it's
thing
actually
is
called a murder comet? What the hell?
It's so silly.
It's called a murder comet. It's dumb.
Is this admittedly, just a comet version of Doom Train?
That is exactly what I thought. I would just convert this thing into a Doom Train and be much happier with myself.
Yeah.
So get ready, everybody, because I love Doom Train.
It's going to get suplexed. It's medium.
Yeah, and you're probably the one who's going to do
you're
it.
Like, I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab it and knock it prone. You think you're fast, little bastard? I got you.
I mean, we all know that that if I throw a Doom Train into a game, it's going to be weak to...
To suplex?
Suplex.
There you have it.
Yeah.
So what's your action? I grapple the train.
Can you do that? It says it's medium, so yes. It's not one of those full-size trains. It's one of those trains you see at the mall, the space mall.
I mean, I might make it larger more powerful, depending.
It's okay.
Depending. Modify.
Grapple something up to one size larger than you. So large, all right, I still got it.
Yeah.
But yo, despite its silly name, Cosmic Horror is pretty sick.
True enough. True,
okay,
true,
cool,
true,
cool.
True,
I just
true.
Wanted to make sure we're all in agreement.
No, no, no. I'm not saying he's not like neat.
We would just give him a different name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would definitely be like, I don't know, Tentacly McTentacle Face or something.
Schlughoff the Destroyer. I'd be like, what? It's got a schlug and a guh in its name.
I mean,
it
if
must
you ever have
dangerous.
Some, if you ever have a player like monster in your game, renaming some of these things can definitely help you out. And then they'll realize it only after they've used a couple of attacks. So
shut up.
Hey, you are the person who gets really into, like, you know, the bestiary. You get a little into everyone's online character sheets sometimes.
No, maybe. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you're referencing, but maybe.
So, yeah, it's yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Definitely some cool stuff. I think the next thing on here is actually something to talk about.
Is it the penguins?
The next thing on here is something you wanted to talk about, monster.
Is it the penguins?
No, it's the Rhaegar. The Rhaegar is the next thing.
Oh, man. I think they're really cool. Like, all right, so they're basically just sort of like this androgynous humanoid race that apparently evolved from cephalopods or something. And they have, like, this magical item that they create that makes the, like, creates a twin of the, like, just the flavor of this sounds like it should be a player class. And I was like, why can't this be like a player class? Or like I can see maybe why they wouldn't do it, just because it has so much going on that
it
should be
a
race.
It does seem
and
like
a class.
It does seem like they tried to do it and it might've just been too powerful or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. Cause it seems like it has a lot of interesting ways to sort of be like, all right, it can do extra damage. It can summon this thing. They have a really cool aesthetic. I think at least, but I could see this being like, all right, if you want to play a Rhaegar, you have to play like this version of an artificer or something, so you can make your evil twin golem thing. But yeah, and
yeah,
I don't know. They just seemed really neat. I don't know about the whole, like, the only thing they're into is war and art. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's just
lazy world building.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say it, but I was gonna actually say it. I'd be like,
I'll
wow,
say
yeah.
it.
Be like, oh.
Did I skip the space penguins? Where'd the space penguins go?
Oh, they're the Dahwar. I think they're cute.
I did skip the space penguins. Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. I just think they're cute. I don't have much to say about them one way or the other. I'm just
they're
like,
adorable.
Oh, space
let your,
penguins.
Let your players do. I don't know, like a mix and match, like a gnome but with the penguin aesthetic or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because they're kind of.
They make me think of Jawas because they have them have the cloaks like the Jawas have.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. What I like most about them is that the picture has them using the flying boars.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think at
if
least.
Anyone, if this is your first episode of our podcast, 300 million feral hogs.
Yeah, I was like, Kevin likes his feral hogs.
I do love my feral hogs.
And now they're going to have wings. Not. Thanks, wizards.
Oh, God. So it begins.
Oh, Steve, you assumed they weren't already going to have wings.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Well, now it's a certainty.
True. Yeah.
What
oh,
else
God,
we
is
got?
That?
Got in here.
Is that what's next? Oh no. Well, the solar dragon's next.
When pigs fly.
So we got the space sharks and then the solar dragons.
Solar dragons really like the art for the solar dragon. I don't know why it just kind of unsettles me, but
he's pretty like I think it's the little spikes on the back and the like snakiness.
Yeah, it's just like I'm just trying to like that like it seems very large in comparison to like a sun and I'm like, "Ooh, man. How big is this thing?" Like,
that might be perspective.
Yeah, it's probably just perspective, but it's like, oh, it seems like an unsettling monster that I would want to fight. But if one gets thrown at me, like, let's go, game on, baby.
I mean, the big thing about this is that it wrecks your ship.
Yeah.
Because it has siege damage.
I'm
so.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, its other stuff is pretty cool. I mean, it has fucking sunbeam breath.
That's right. So. Got that hyper viper beam, baby. Get him.
But yeah, I don't think, I think mechanically, I prefer lunar, but I like having both options.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised that they actually had more than one type of dragon added for space. I was like, they'll probably do like one like zero gravity asteroid dragon. And then they're like, nope, we got solar and we got lunar. So I'm like, oh, wow. The duality.
Yeah.
But they're pretty neat.
They are. But they definitely are.
Do we dare go to something that is not that neat? Oh, these are such like...
Space clowns?
Yes, space clowns.
I don't know, killer clowns from outer space and it.
They just named them space clowns.
Yes, they
I thought you were describing them. No, they're actually just called space clowns.
Yep. They're called space clowns.
It was a bring your kid to work day, and little Jimmy was just like, clowns! And be like, no, this isn't space. Space clowns! I'm like, cool, dude. I guess you're hired.
They wanted pulp. They got pulp.
Yes, they did. With very big shoes.
Yeah. It's fine. The phantasmal form is kind of cool. Like, I might put that onto something more interesting. But,
Yep. I think our silence says it all. We don't have a lot to say. We're just like, yep.
Yep. Then more, the space is an ocean with eels, guppies. Technically, you hop over the hamster, there's space seagulls even. So, you know.
That's so silly.
That's how it goes. The giant space hamsters, however, are adorable.
Yep. No arguments here.
Yep. Also, look at hamster teeth sometime. Giant hamsters would be probably pretty terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
Imagine an autonome cavalier on a giant hamster mount.
Well, I have no doubt in my mind that someone's going to do it now. Because I can't unimagine that.
I was tempted to do it. I don't know in what, but it sounds cool.
We've got our...
Apparently I need to plan a space campaign after Viking game.
Yeah, for real. We'll have our space water polo team, and our coach can be an autonome on a giant hamster. Cool. Game on, baby. He's just running back and forth on the pool deck like, what are you doing? I need more crackers!
Yep. And naturally, here in this section, we also have the space swine.
Oh, that's
space
true.
Space swine, everybody.
That's all right.
He's not actually that intense. I just, like I said, it's just a running podcast joke.
Yeah.
Enjoy, listeners. Enjoy. And then another thing that probably should have been a class, right, Ryan? Or a race?
Yeah, I think so. The Susurron, or...
Sauron.
Sauron. They're basically lizard folk, but
yeah.
They have, like, a really cool kind of aesthetic to them that...
And some poison theming. That's that's pretty cool.
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And kind of like, I think they have like some psionics, sort of like.
Yeah, Intellect sort of, Fortress.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, okay, seems cool.
Like it would be broken.
Yeah, well.
On a character.
But... Yeah, you wouldn't give that to a character right at the start. That's probably something to get at like level 5 or something. But I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. It's just sort of like lizards folks in space. Like, why not? We got space elves. We got space gnomes. The GIF are basically gun-loving Goliath. No, not actually. Pretty different. But yeah, we're just like,
yeah,
could have been a player class, but maybe they're saving that for a later Spelljammer release. Who knows?
Fair enough. Then my personal favorite of the menagerie.
Yes, yeah, this one's cool.
The Starlight Apparition, which I'm going to leave it to you all to read it to yourself for yourself, but I would plan a session around this thing / I am currently planning a session around this thing.
Oh, let's go. Guys. Yeah.
I feel like this is the type of thing that you would throw into a campaign as like an NPC character.
I mean, the actual, one of the things I did see when I was zooming over their thing is they have it built in as like it possesses the corpse of any NPC who accidentally dies during the campaign who's important, which is fun and disturbing as shit. Admittedly, something that I actually had built into my space game, as you know, Steve. So, yeah, I just like them. I just think they're cool. I think they'd be a cool mystery to everything. Apparently, now I'm going to have to sufficiently obfuscate it for these two because they're my players.
Don't worry. I won't read it too thoroughly.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just say it's got a bunch of just stuff that I'm like, that's neat. It's not like going to break your players, obviously challenge rating 5. It's just a cool, mysterious space thing. There's a siren in the background.
Oh, I was like, was that one of your cats? Just like, wow.
No. It's just a cool, mysterious space thing. And the type of thing I wanted a little bit more of, if I'm being real. So, yeah. But
if we are talking about favorites, though, I got to jump to the end with the Zodar. Like,
the Zodar is rad.
This thing's
not the vampirates.
Oh, Ryan I like the vampirates just because
Monster they're... likes the vampirates.
I say, okay. Yeah, I do like them just because they're kind of a fun pun, but that's about it. But
they're neat. Invisibility thing, exactly. which seems really cool. They have the explode thing, like the clowns.
Like if we could only keep the clowns or the pirate or the vampirates, I'd say let's keep the vampirates.
I mean, I would definitely agree. But...
Yeah. Oh yeah, but
the Zodar.
the Zodar. Oh, man. Similarly to how Kevin liked the Starlight Apparition as sort of like it has a lot of like fun plot hooks sort of built into it, I feel like the Zodar does as well. And this thing is tough as shit. Like, it's the kind of thing like you wouldn't want to fight, but the potential would show up. And then it has kind of like a little ace up its sleeve with
the ace.
Yeah. I'm sure anybody who's listening, you'll probably read through it, but it casts the wish spell as it dies. And as a GM, what couldn't you do with that? Oh, Lord.
It would wreck the party's day. Like, this thing is just cool. Like,
it's
like Monster
cool.
mentioned it, and I was immediately like, yeah, that's one of the things I was looking at. That's rad.
Yeah.
That's so rad. Two awesome dragons. You got the kind of the fun little hamsters and stuff. And then you've got a couple of like solid just literally plan a session around it.
Yes.
Monsters with the Starlight Apparition and the Zodar. I agree.
Like, easily. Like, you need a monster that will further the campaign story. You got it with either of those. No problem. And I'm sure there's some other ones in here that just didn't stick out as well, but they have like the potential to sort of be like, look at that.
I mean, yeah, we skipped over Chompy Life Drain, Centipede, and freaking a bunch of like crazy bug monsters. I did notice a lot of them had the like psionic incapacitation stuff, which I think makes it to a little bit of a boring fight.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But yeah, no, there's definitely other stuff in here that we kind of glossed over. So,
but it's the Starlight Apparition and the Zodar are just real tough acts to follow. Like, no lie. Whew. Super cool stuff.
Honestly, I think the between the races and the menagerie, despite, you know, maybe some softness in the mechanics of the ship, I think they make it kind of worth the money, personally.
Yeah.
At least on D&D Beyond. Yeah. You know?
For what, like, how much is it? Like, $30?
I think so. I always, whenever they have a book, I wait until there's a sale.
Oh, bless you.
And then grab it while there's a sale.
My man. That's a good way to be.
Because, yeah.
Eventually you save up and one of these books ends up.
Is it? It's 50 base.
Okay. That's
a little steeper than
I think the average book. But this also does come with an adventure. And most adventures are anywhere from like, I don't know, 15 to 20 something dollars. So.
Yeah. And you can definitely get this for like 30 something if you get it for a price. Wait for a holiday.
Yeah, exactly. And then next holiday, then Black Friday or Cyber Monday, I'm sure is going to show up. And
just... They might have a Labor Day sale.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But enough about
Halloween sale.
Yeah, exactly. But enough about being financially responsible and frugal. I don't think we're really going to talk about the adventure, but there is an adventure in here that, Kevin, give a sort of your take on how you feel about it.
So I kind of mentioned it before. I literally pulled out the quote that they have in here, that Light of Zaryxis,
yep,
or Zarxis, something like that, is inspired by the 1980 film Flash Gordon. Note how they put that one first. And the serialized Flash Gordon comic strips from the 1930s, which I would like to, admittedly, haven't looked into it. I want to know how many of the serials they watched. As someone who's actually watched serials from the 1930s, I think they were mostly going for like the cliffhanger ending to each part, which is definitely a thing that those had, a feature. But yeah, I wonder sometimes those can get really weird. But I think it was mostly Flash. Whoa!
Yeah.
Savior of the universe. Gonna make everyone suffer. That's my goal.
You're doing great.
So yeah. I just thought you're
on three uses of that so far this episode.
Good.
Cool.
roimperfection@gmail.com if you want to.
Send us a sound clip if you think you can do it better. Ha!
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say if you want to submit a complaint.
I don't know why you're freaking out. I'm the one who checks the email.
Oh, yeah, I'm not. No, I'm not really complaining.
Send us your best Flash Gordon sound clip. Let's go.
Indeed. I thought, I was like, okay. Also, wait, have either of you actually seen the 1980 Flash Gordon? Because I have.
No.
I've seen parts of it, and I remember I've seen the ending a couple times, but I don't remember what happens. I just remember he gets a bunch of his friends together at the end, and they They raid the Tower of the Evil Wizard or something.
Yeah, they raid Mongo's Tower.
Manga?
I think so. Yeah, sure it is. It's a thing. Like, it's definitely, like, the wackiest of, like, some of the wackiest stuff from, like, the pulps. I just don't know that it's the most interesting, so.
So, TLDR, you think you could take this and just do it better is kind of the vibe I'm getting?
Honestly, read, like, Barsoom or, oh, man, I wish I prepared a little bit better. I didn't think to list off pulp stuff, but just look into, like, some of the weird and crazy stuff that, like, the pulps did. And obviously be careful because the pulps are old and therefore there's some rough ones.
Yeah. So,
but
some of them may not have aged as gracefully as other things have.
But I do think that there's some, like, weirder stuff. Just be wacky. Like, I don't know. You could even read, like, some Lovecraft and throw it in here, like The Color Out of Space or something.
Oh, that'd be
I
sick.
Just think, like, that kind of energy. And I know you've got a little bit of that in Ravenloft, but I just would like to see some more of that kind of energy, I guess.
Totally fair. Steve, did you get to read through any of the adventure?
I did not, which is why I didn't have much input on that. I didn't get a chance to go through either the races or the ships or the story portion of it.
Totally fair. But, I feel like most of the stuff we've talked about it was like the races and the fun shenanigans you do with those and how they're all pretty fun.
Yeah.
But
it's what our listeners have come to expect.
Yeah, I feel like for most of the books, they're like, all right, we're going to focus on the player stuff and not so much on like this pre-made adventure, which maybe somebody will use.
Yeah, they don't
want to
spoiling it anyway.
Yeah.
So
I will say the bits that I did read through it, it does a pretty good job of like progressively escalating the further along in the story you get. Starts off be like, oh, you get in a bar fight and be like, okay, cool. Oh, there's this thing over there that's a little scarier than a bar fight. And then, oh man, that thing's scarier than that thing that's scarier than a bar fight. And it just kind of progressively escalates. And then there's I like the ending just because there's like a moral quandary of sorts. And yeah, I was like, if you're into pre-made adventures, give it a read. I think even if you don't actually run it, you'll find some stuff that you can make your own, wink wink, and put in your own game.
You can also be like me and pillage a bunch of shit from it.
There you go, as it should be.
Yep. You could also pillage the art. There's actually a lot of like cool art in here too. They went all out on this one.
Yeah, they did. They took some of the art in this is really cool. And joke's on you, I'm into it. Yeah, so yeah, I think that's probably pretty good. I don't know if you guys have anything else you wanted to mention in the book.
I was expecting this episode to be like 30 minutes.
Same here, and it totally did not happen. This is way longer. Oh my god.
It's so long.
Good luck, brother.
This is the longest one we've had in a long while.
You're gonna
do
fine.
I should have started with a bonus double-sized spectacular or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is a hefty book, it turns out. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, space is extra thick. So.
Yes, it is. So are the whales.
Thick episode. Oh god, you're back to the whales.
Always back. You got to bring it back to the whales every time.
But, all right, Steve, you want to carry us out?
I'm going to do the catchphrase and sign out before it gets any longer.
Yeah.
Get it.
All right. So remember, play what you love, and until next time, may your characters do something epic.
In space!
Space whales.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. With the vampirates and the, okay. Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, that's
and
okay.
Wave-dashing monkeys. Don't forget wave-dashing monkeys.
Oh, God. No, no wave-dashing monkeys. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.